Good morning to everyone. It's Thursday, March 3rd, 2022. And in part 5 of our series on attributes of the wisdom of God, our focus will be specifically on the nature of God's wisdom, looking at the book of James. It gives us yet another opportunity to consider God's incomparable spiritual provision for us, His children. So, while it is true that we travel through this life in this body and soul clothing, even greater is that we travel through this life having the life-changing Spirit of God within, and that is an enormous distinction. Sure, we will err. We're going to miss the mark many times in life, but the Christ in us sealed in our hearts, that continues its redeeming work at our request. And there we are, right back within the will of God. So often in life, situations arise and they are just so close to our hearts that it just really can send us into a tailspin almost. And there's nothing more we want to do than make everything better for everyone. And yet, even knowing God's will and knowing what from His Word will fix things, we might hesitate at how to best handle the dilemma. Because more often than not, there are usually circumstances involved that are beyond our control. So, there we are. What do we say? What do we speak? You know, we know the framework, but the timing factors and even our manner of wording to reach the hearts of those we want to help, we just can drive ourselves nuts trying to figure it all out. Ever been there? Well, boy, we have. You know the Word. You know how God's Word would fix things. You know, you may even understand how things got into the mess. But our heart's cry is for the wisdom to be received in the situation and minister for lasting profit. Proverbs 25:11, I really love this. It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And that word fitly, it means in a suitable time frame and in a suitable manner. Not only is it the truth that needs to be spoken, but it is spoken at a time when it will do the job. It is spoken in a timely way that will do the job. There are those times when people's hearts are ready to hear, and unfortunately, there are those times when people's hearts are not ready to hear one word. Sometimes we talk till we're blue in the face, no response that we can detect. But a word fitly spoken comes as a timely truth and at the right moment. Who knows when the hearer's heart is ready for the truth? Ready to hear what will heal and restore. Well, God alone. And by way of His wisdom working through the Holy Spirit within us, we hear from our gracious Father to go for it. There are times when we run on our own wisdom, and that can bring disastrous results. I've experienced that before. In Proverbs 18:19, in the New English Translation, it says a relative. Now, the King James reads brother, and, you know, it could be a relative, it could be a brother in Christ. A relative offended is harder to reach than a strong city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a fortified citadel. You know, and sometimes just out of, and I hate to say this word, but out of fear of blowing it, you can just clam up. And that's not good, because we have a lot to say. But insight or wisdom we have gained through our senses experiences, they can provide somewhat of a framework, but we remain in that state of expectant readiness for God's wisdom in those exact circumstances that they would triumph overall. Isn't that the wisdom we want? Of course. And I mentioned the state of expected readiness because during this series, times before that, we have heard and believed wisdom. That wisdom is perpetually crying out to us. In James chapter 1, it gives us the simplicity of receiving wisdom. In verse 5, in the New Living Translation, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. It's pretty straightforward. How often did Jesus say, ask, and you shall receive? You know, God will not rebuke us. And not rebuke is from a word meaning there's no shame when we ask Him. He doesn't think it's shameful that we come to Him and ask for wisdom. I'm sure as a proud papa, he's joyful when we come and ask Him. Verse 6 adds, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. This is why we do mind and heart repetitions, so we grow strong in our faith. You know, having strong muscles to endure in our old age is such a great advantage physically. But how much more advantage spiritually is being able to flex our mind and heart during the rigors of everyday life? That's what I mean about remaining in the state of expectation and readiness. We're always crying out for wisdom, and wisdom is always crying out for us. Most of us are familiar with workout results. We can't work out hard every day for a week and then skip a month with much expectation. Consistency is the key. And it is the same with keeping our spiritual hearts healthy and strong. You know, be strong in our faith in God and all that He is. We simply ask. There's no weakness in our mind and heart by asking God for wisdom. Our spiritual flexibility outmaneuvers all the fiery darts that would try and knock us off balance. We have deliberately resolved in our hearts that our Heavenly Father is generous and joyously awaiting our every petition. Now look at this comforting verse in James 3:17. In the King James, the words used to describe the personal nature of God's wisdom, why, you know, they make one's heart just take in a deep breath, breathe out slowly, and just relax in the heart and in the bosom of our Heavenly Father. So it reads, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That is what we have from God, simply for the asking. Wisdom not only gives us the best plan, but it gives us the best means of execution. It gives us that timing, that way, that manner. Wisdom that is from above, of course, meaning from God, initiates from His all-powerfulness, from His all-knowing, and from His everywhere present. Nothing is missed or unaccounted for. Sometimes we have the gnarliest situations. And even if we know all about the problem, it is God who knows all about the solutions, and especially the dispensing part, because that's where the wisdom comes in. We already have the knowledge of the Word, but we want to walk we want to minister with his wisdom. So even though we are in these body and soul categories, with God's Spirit within us, we have quite the upper edge. And this is how wisdom from above makes folly of the wisdom of the world. It quickly shows how shallow and how lacking the wisdom of the world is compared to the wisdom of God. And yet, as we've seen, it is so much so that is incomparable. It's silly to compare. It's folly. Verse 17 says that the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And the word first means that it is foremost in the order of importance, which means purity. God's purity is at the base. It's the underlying factor that supports all the other components of the wisdom that is from above. God is pure, and his wisdom is in keeping with the nature of his purity. Pure, the word for pure, is actually two Greek words. One of them means truly, certainly, surely, or indeed. And the other word means chaste and clear. Without the wisdom from above, things are murky at best. His wisdom is spotless, faithful, innocent. It's pure. The very first nature of the wisdom of God is this: truly pure indeed. Pure from every fault. It is clean and innocent. It's immaculate. It's impeccably spotless, clean, completely flawless. The verse goes on to say, then, so first it's pure, then it's peaceable. And it means thereupon. So thereupon, purity is peace. Upon purity comes peace. This wisdom is peaceable. It brings harmony. Peaceableness set atop genuine purity makes for safety and prosperity all along the way. Doesn't it sound like the voice of wisdom that speaks out in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs? How many times did we read that wisdom keeps us? It preserves us. Next, the nature of wisdom is gentle. And that means it's appropriate. It has a sweet reasonableness. And I think that's such a beautiful set of words there, a sweet reasonableness. How often we have received a scripture, and it was at a time when maybe our hearts were hurting, and it was just such a sweet reassurance. It was just so reasonable. And this gentle, it means it's equitable, it's fair, it's moderate. It doesn't insist on the letter of the law, but it expresses a consideration that looks humanely and reasonably at all the facts of the situation. It is tender, in contrast to being contentious. And it, of course, just by the nature of it, it's gentle. It's flavored by the presence of patience, meekness, and forbearance. Those really give that gentleness a meaning, a flavor to it. Then it goes on, wisdom from above is easy to be entreated. Now this word is used only one time, and the one Greek word comes from two other Greek words. One means to dwell or to act rightly, and that's in the sense of being well off or doing well or prospering. And the second means to persuade or to induce one by words to believe. So this easy to be entreated, it's effective to the dispersing of wisdom. It's effective for the hearer to hear, and it's effective for the giver in the giving. It's easy to be entreated. It's a very nice situation. Speaking according to the wisdom from above, we gain goodwill and we win the favor of the one we're speaking to. Naturally, the probability of offending our brother is mitigated when we speak the right words in the right way at the right time, which you don't arrive at with your senses. Part of it might come that way, but the wisdom of God comes from above by way of the Holy Spirit. Now, with that, these words of healing, deliverance, the words of wisdom can do the work they are sent to do. And I just think of that beautiful verse in Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Nothing can hinder our all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present God and Father. This is the good that we can do. This is the purpose we fulfill. And, you know, what a small investment we make to accomplish that which pleases God and even earns us rewards in eternity. Now, next in James 3:17, it tells us that the nature of the wisdom of God is full of mercy. Mercy is full of kindness and goodwill towards those who are miserable or afflicted, united with our desire to help them. That's mercy. It's a coming together of a person in need with a person desiring to help. And then the other thing I love to think about, it says it's full of mercy. When something is full, it tells us there is no room left for anything else. Mercy is all that there is in the wisdom of God. It is full of mercy. And it goes on, it is full of good fruit. Now, fruit always indicates the result, the harvest, the effect. And of course, in this case, it's a beneficial effect, it's a bountiful harvest, and it's an honorable result. Verse 17 continues, wisdom is without partiality. Now, you might think of partiality as playing favorites or having favor of one over another, but it is actually a word that means fraught, F-R-A-U-G-H-T, with uncertainty of the promise or outcome. Now, the wisdom from above is without this. There is no uncertainty of the outcome. And reading again, I want to read again Isaiah 55:11. This is so plain and so clear. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And I've found in times past, growing in the Word, not that I couldn't do it on any given day now, but, you know, are the words we speak coming from our mouth, or are they coming from God's mouth? That's very important. Lastly in this listing is without hypocrisy. The wisdom that is from above is genuine. There's no insincerity, no deceitfulness, no pretending. It is not false or phony or made up. It's not Hollywood, but it is true. It is sincere. It is open, and it is genuine. And then that beautiful verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now the and at the beginning of this verse, it joins verse 17 and verse 18, but it's not just a joining conjunction, but it means but, moreover, or nevertheless. So it goes to say that but the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace, or moreover. The advantage, of course, the profit, the effect of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Guess who the them is? It's you and me doing the will of God from our hearts. And those hearts are fortified with great strength and courage. Fiery darts would have us doubt, saying, all this is just too good to be true. This can't possibly work every time. But to borrow a lyric from a Mercy Me song, I just say to the tempter, this ain't wishful thinking. It's just how it is. It is this good. It can work every time. All I have to do is ask. And the Father gives it to me. You know, we hold fast to sweet truths like we've seen today and in the previous segments of this series. And we guard our minds and hearts with our spiritual workouts. Then our lives will serve in the stead of our risen Christ. And our works of believing will glorify Jehovah. So, great blessings for the week ahead, and much love to you all as you consider these great truths.